everybody. On this episode of the Designated Survivor After Show, we're breaking down Season 1, Episode 13, Backfire. Will the Kirkman administration, will they embrace truth and honesty, or are they going to let suspicion cloud their presidency? Find out.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This song will never get old.
Never.
It will never get old.
Renee just busting out some very just
these are my moves.
Did you learn those in Florida?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Designated Survivor After Show. Of course, we're breaking down every episode of Designated Survivor airing this season on ABC. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
What's up, guys? I'm your host, Christine Alexis. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Bean.
Hey, everyone. How we doing? Michael Klaus. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheOnlyMC, and I am in the live chat tonight. Let's talk.
Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel, and you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
And, of course, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, of course, as Michael said, he's got the chat up and running. So jump in there, share your thoughts. And if you're watching later, feel free to comment below. But let's kick things off with the most important topic. And the whole reason that people tune in every Wednesday night at 11 o'clock is to find out what Oreos we'll be sampling this evening. We tried Peeps last week, and I'm sorry, Renee. I do have a few at home that I have to bring in for you so you
Peeps
can try.
Peeps Oreos?
That's right.
They were so sweet.
I'm so bummed I missed last week.
Don't worry. I have some that I'll be bringing for you to try. So don't think you've escaped.
I might be sick that week.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
I think.
Shout out to everybody who responded back to me on Twitter, casting their votes on what we should try next.
Why lemon, you guys?
Lemon.
Why not original?
Because we've already done original.
Yes, come on. We all know what original
but
tastes
I
like.
Forget.
You gotta cast
it's
your net.
It's been a while.
You forget.
I've been eating very healthy. Like, what does it even taste like?
I wanted the Cinnabon ones, but, you know.
I would have tried that.
I really want that one.
We still have nine episodes for this. So
true.
I feel like everything's going to get their due.
Okay, let's talk more eat.
All right.
Would you like
to do the honors?
Talking with a hungry guy late at night.
Oh, I will
open her
lift.
Oh, the fresh seal.
Ooh.
The lemony
it's like
goodness.
Orange.
Well, no, it's yellow.
It's bright yellow.
Lemon cream.
It is bright yellow.
It sure
I see
is.
Like an orange. It's like a bright yellow.
We can go ahead.
Oh, please. You look at it first.
I'll go for it. This one looks like
That's like plum full, too. You got a big one there.
Oh.
Here you go. I'll get one for you.
Oh, wow, thanks. You don't want to just
double it?
These actually are looked like double stuff.
So we all have to take a bite?
We have to eat the whole
Should we do it on the count of three?
Right. Okay, sure.
One,
cheers.
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 Yeah. This is what we do. Okay. One, two, three. Very lemony. Strong flavor. Not bad, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. They're not bad.
Mm.
So, Ivan, you're questioning in the live chat. You gotta go get yourself some.
Renee, you're not feeling this?
It's like I almost like it, and then I taste all the lemon.
Mm. Yeah, what that is you don't want to like it, but you do like it.
So a power ranking these, just for the first two that we have, I'm definitely putting this over
above Peeps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody disagree?
Renee, you don't count. I don't know.
So yes, we'll have to get you the Peeps so you can make
I'm gonna put it
judgment.
Below Peeps.
Really?
Don't do that.
No. This is a strong choice. Thanks, everybody, for voting on this. Oh, gosh. Make sure you get your votes in next week, too, because, who knows what flavor could be awaiting us.
I know.
We do know.
Shh. Oh, the voting might be heavily skewed towards one particular flavor. All right. So we started off this episode. A lot of big things happened last week. Most importantly of all, Peter McLeish got killed, and then his wife killed herself.
How do you think they handled it?
It seemed to go pretty well.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I like the way that they actually addressed the main issue of why the heck weren't there security guards there, Secret Service, anyone. You literally just let the VP get shot by his wife and then she killed herself. And they addressed it. And you know what? Here we go. Thank you for doing that. I don't know if it fully excuses the fact that it happened,
thank
but
you.
I was very happy that they did address it.
And I think the biggest thing this episode is for Kirkman, who wants to really run a transparent and truthful administration, how much can you be truthful when you also know that there's some kind of conspiracy? Mm-hmm. You don't want to tip your hand, but you want to be as honest as you possibly can be.
Mm-hmm. That was running through my head during that last when he addressed the nation. Like, how much is he tipping off to the people who are still conspiring against him and, like, is that putting them a step behind or a step ahead?
Yeah, giving from the way he spoke, I did not feel like he was tipping his hand that he knows more than he's letting on.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in the last speech because I thought they were going to build it. They built it up to be that he was going to reveal a lot of information.
Yeah,
and really all he did was give a counterpoint of this guy actually said what was true.
Yeah, pretty much.
I thought he was going to give away a lot more information. Was I wrong?
Would you want him to blow up in the conspiracy right there?
I think he wanted to tell the truth, though. Like, Seth had to keep telling him, like, this is not the right time. Like, I think he, all in all, really wanted to have that final moment.
But I think that's something the country had to hear, was just have him spread that message of, like, it's all honest here. Don't worry, guys, I'll tell you the truth. And then they're like, okay, it's cool.
Which I thought was an interesting point, and you talked about this, of him wanting to get that information out, and it's a president who is not a politician wanting to get information out, and it's what we see with Trump right now, although he's putting way too much information out with Twitter. But I think that's interesting because as regular Joes, you know, we always look at the office of the president and we think, why aren't they sharing more information? Why aren't, you know, give us something. And you're kind of seeing now the reasons why they do and don't do that.
True. If you don't have all the information, it's kind of pointless to go out there and start just getting people start conjecturing when you can't give them the full. You don't have the information to be able to give them any real reasons why things are happening.
Yeah, nothing's gonna be scarier than like hearing this big problem that we don't have an answer to and be like, well, we're still trying to figure it out, but this guy tried to kill me and he was the vice president, but now he's dead, so it's all good.
Yeah,
that was
the
quick little like. Update.
Yeah.
Just a little blurb.
The
by the way,
one. Welcome. Can make like a YouTube series.
Now, of course, Alex, the other big thing for Tom this episode, too, is dealing with family. How do you balance family while you're the president? And especially given it was already a very politically charged and dangerous time for the country, very unsettled, but even more so after the assassination attempt. And now that they know Alex knows something's up but doesn't know exactly, she's wondering what she should do with the kids. She should keep them in D.C.? Should they take them away and put them someplace a little bit safer?
It makes you realize the sacrifice that it is being president.
Yeah.
No matter what party you are, whether you elected the person, voted for them or not, that's why I have deep respect for the office, because it is a sacrifice.
Do you agree with his choice? That is like, all right, I'm not going to keep you guys close to me. Better to take you guys out and flee the campaign.
Yeah, I agree.
I can live.
It's not over. There's still a threat out there. I'm sure we'll see that over the course of the season. And I think it's also just kind of foreshadowing that we're not going to see as much of them in the storyline overall. Putting them away at Camp David, I think.
So you see them being away for a couple episodes?
Yeah, for sure.
Renee,
are
you okay with
that? I think we'll see them next episode.
Yeah,
they just won't be at the White House. I am okay with them going away. I don't know if it's necessarily safer because I feel like these people are very dangerous, and if they're determined enough, they will get the kids, they'll get the wife.
Well,
hide your kids, hide your wife.
That was the perfect line.
That's what we should have opened up with.
Hide
song.
Kids.
As the biggest Leo fan on the panel, are you sad that he's going to be kind of taken away from D.C. right now?
I'll take a few days to grieve, but I think I'll be okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, that moment that he's like, I'll be okay, Dad. I'm like, yeah, you will. Bye, Leo.
Literally immediately Ivan says, write off Leo in the live chat. Live chat people are not Leo fans.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen, I think.
He's never going to grow on us. He was chill this episode. I still don't like him.
He's still...
No.
I would have been cool with him having no lines, just a smile, a wave, and then get in the helicopter and
bye. I feel like that's a shame for the writers because they gave him so much baggage coming into that pilot episode. You're like, you turn the audience against him so quickly that it's tough for him.
Yeah, where were they going to go with the whole drug thing?
I'm happy they dropped it.
Thank you, Designated Survivor, for dropping that. I much prefer Leo as like a sideline yes or no guy in the background.
Now,
cool.
Jumping ahead to the end, when they do finally say goodbye, that really long, you know, the orchestra swelled as they were getting the helicopter and taking off, and it took forever. I don't know, Michael said the same thing that I did. It felt like that helicopter was going to get hit with something.
He turns his back, and you're like, is something going to happen?
Yeah, it seemed like...
Because it would in this show. It would.
Oh, yeah.
You never
100%.
Know.
You know what I really wanted to see that I'm a little bummed about? The horse. I wanted to see her finished product of the horse.
Wait,
in the
what?
Picture, the horse that the daughter drew.
Yeah,
oh. And he was supposed to help her finish it.
But then she did finish it, and I want to see what it looked like without his help. But they never showed it. I saw a shadow when it was facing the other way, but I wanted to see the actual horse.
Google kids drawing of a horse.
It was never finished. I bet you find something.
It
remained unfinished, Renee. And I think that's the idea, is that at the last scene of this entire season,
she gave it to him.
You know what it looked like?
Yeah, I thought that's what it was, like my broken horse.
Something like that.
Dad, we could have finished
what
together.
What is wrong with this leg?
I bet this is what it looked like. What are you talking about? There's four legs.
That looks
There's
so
an
bad.
Eye.
That is
yeah, it's
worst.
A kid's drawing. I didn't try to draw it well.
That looks like an anteater.
I said, this is what it looks like. You throw some trees in the background.
Okay, so that sounds.
If you guys want to follow
sun in the corner,
if you guys want any of Michael's art, make sure you follow him on Instagram.
<I'm> gonna,
he's
that.
Having a pop-up gallery
signed.
Next week.
There we go. Sorry, I
we're
gonna
be giving
back.
This away to a very lucky viewer. Let us know if you want it.
look at that. It could be yours.
You got an autograph. Oh, you did.
I did.
It's autographed.
A limited edition one of one set right there.
Wow.
We also have Hannah. This is another character point that I know the only MC was curious about. Hannah goes to see Jason Atwood, of course, at first at the funeral, then at his home. And wants his help in trying to figure out everything they can about this woman, because so far, her and Forrestal can't get any information. Everything mm-hmm. about her has been scrubbed away. Mm-hmm. So Jason's their only lead, and he's not having it.
He's pissed about that.
It's kind of hypocritical, and I said this, is that he makes it seem like he regrets not being loyal to the agency and helping out more. And then they ask him for help, and he says no. And so I can't tell if he is actually regretful or if he would literally do the same thing over again. I mean, that's what he's questioning, I'm sure, is how would I act again if this were the situation presented to me?
I feel like
I don't know his answer.
I feel like he's just grieving right now. I feel like he's going to contradict himself constantly and keep mm-hmm. going back and forth because he lost his son, and he's going to feel like it's his fault mm-hmm. or it's their fault, or whose fault is it? Like, he's going to deal with this battle for a while, and I don't think he's going to make good decisions until he gets past that. That mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I wasn't here last week, but that was a huge shock for me that they actually had his son killed. Like, they killed his son. I did not see that coming, because usually in these shows, like, the kids never die. They never die. I honestly thought the kid would be back with the mom, so that was crazy. Beautiful funeral scene, by the way. I really liked the roses. It was shot really nicely. But yeah, I don't think he's going to make a lot of sense or be any help to this case until he's done grieving, whenever that is.
Yeah, I have to admit, I mean, we talked about this last week too. It definitely was a darker turn than I think anybody was really expecting the show to do with Atwood's son. But it is interesting where it's like, whatever, this finding her is not going to bring my son back. But still, as somebody that has spent their life in, mm-hmm. in law enforcement, you would still want somebody brought to justice.
Do you see him switching on that opinion and helping out?
I feel it has to. Later otherwise, on. They're mm-hmm. going to get. They're going to get stuck.
Later on, for sure, but not for a while.
I have to agree with you in the sense that he's still getting over his grief, and he's embarrassed, he's ashamed, he's, like, going through all the motions right now. I think it's going to get to a point where Hannah's really going to need his help, and he's going to come in clutch, because had it been the opposite, I think he'd be telling Hannah the same thing if she mm-hmm. were in his shoes.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think when they had that conversation, he's like, are you working me right now? Like, he knows what it is, and I think eventually he'll see past what he's personally going through. And get vengeance. I think that he wants that.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, right now this guy is dealing with, like, literally losing everything. He thought he would lose everything except for his son, and now he comes to find out he just lost everything.
And his wife's gone. She went to Boston.
His wife left for a little bit. We don't know how long. Maybe her and Leo are going to hang out.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's been kind of... we've been complaining about enough that finally Hannah and Kirkman are on the same page in regards to the conspiracy. They're all working together. Mm-hmm. So we get to see them pursuing leads. Would you want to see scenes or an episode that was primarily told from the conspiracy's point of view to figure out what the heck they're doing?
Like, more flashbacks?
Not necessarily more flashbacks. It's just even present day, what they're doing currently, why they're trying, what they're trying to accomplish and why. Well, I don't need to know every single player, but just what their motivations are.
Maybe a season finale if they give away. Because I think I always go back to this, the big backstab. I think we're waiting for one more, like, oh my gosh, they're a part of it moment. So once that's out of the way, yeah, sure, I don't mind. But I think right now it is kind of like the surprise of it. Like, who is behind this? Oh my God, are they people we know? Are they people we don't know? Where are they? It makes it, like, scarier, more suspenseful.
So that gets into the question, are we seeing the conspiracy side through Aaron? Aaron, good or bad, it's still the question. And they set it up with the end there of really don't know. And that's the question, post for the live chat, post for you guys. Aaron, thoughts?
Well, but he knows Langdon. So from the previous administration. So if he's looking for somebody to reach out in this current administration, Aaron would be the most logical choice.
I think Aaron's not as good as we think.
He's not as good, but I don't think he's as bad too. As the show is trying to kind of tease you that he may be.
Yeah, I think okay. I'm, like, really suspicious of Mike right now.
Really?
I don't get anything from Mike.
because they're slowly making
of
him a bigger
Mike?
Because they're slowly making him a bigger character, and he's too likable right now. I'm not about it. I feel like there's going to be a turn.
I think he's filling the void of Aaron, because we used to really like Aaron, and then now Aaron's like, oh, yeah, we don't know how good he is, and then now we have Mike, who's this good character.
Has to be, who else is going to be the big backstab? I keep trying to figure out like who they're going to turn against everyone, and I'm like, Mike. Mike is so likable. He's like all about like the family. He knows everyone so well that would be like a shock, I think.
I think, and this gets back to reading of what they wanted to do with the show, where the first third is really a bunch of, you know, action. The second third is relationships and people. And I think that's what they're doing here with Mike. It's really allowing us to see what it's like to be the lead Secret Service agent and the relationship that they actually have with the president. So I think that's what they're trying to do, not necessarily make us feel a certain way towards Mike.
But that's what you do. You get the audience attached, and then you...
Well, all Mikes are good people. Every single Michael is a good person.
You're just saying that because that's
funny. I've seen Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson...
I mean,
know,
but have you met Michael Klaus?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's an easy, yeah. Saw him in the mirror the other day.
Ooh, ooh.
That Michael Klaus is a stand-up guy.
Hey! Hey, thank you.
You were going to say, Christine?
No, I was going to piggyback off Mike, Michael, that I think the same. I think they're just giving him a bigger character arc. And we kind of always see that in shows with the president. Like, they always have that mm-hmm. good Secret Service agent that they're close with.
Yeah, but you know, he's going to be the first one that gets killed off. You build him up, so we care about him.
That's
what
I'm saying. We're caring about him. Is he going to get killed off, or is he the bad guy?
He's not the bad guy. He's going to get killed.
Hey, you got William on your side. William Day says that Kirkman's Secret Service agent will make a huge mistake in the season finale.
Ooh, we'll see. I don't know. They're building Mike up for a reason. I'm not sure if he's going to die or what, but something's happening. Maybe just want the backstab, you guys. I keep saying it. It can be Alex. It can be Leo. I just want to feel
why?
Backstab. I just love that. I don't know.
What?
I love it. I love just feeling like, oh, man, should have seen that
coming.
So
you love the McLeish. You love McLeish and his...
Yeah, but he wasn't
issues.
Really... No, because we already knew kind of off the bat he was shady. Like, I want someone that I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've invested my time into you, my emotions, and then I want them to be like, peace out, I'm actually the worst person, and then I'm going to be like, I didn't see that coming, shocked, I'll tweet about it, it's going to be a moment. And then we'll talk about it on this after show, we have an after
Jeremiah says Aaron is clean. They
Aaron
say
is clean?
He did bring up, though, which can be a transition, the former president who was mentioned in this episode.
That piques my interest for sure.
So certainly it starts off as a little bit, and I feel like it's a subplot that's going to build in the next few episodes, is that Dwyer, basically Emily tells Tom they're having a tough time getting anybody to come in and take mm-hmm. any positions, even come in to take meetings. But Dwyer is interested in perhaps coming back and resuming his position as Secretary of State. So like, wow, if we get Dwyer, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But then he comes in and says, you know what, I'm going to pull my name out of consideration, but former President Moss would love to come in and just, you know, share his experience with you guys. Maybe help you out a little bit.
Cornelius.
Yeah, great name. Love
great
it.
Great name.
Love it.
Great name for someone else to have. You know those names that you're like, wow, that's a really cool name. I would not have anything to do with it, but you rock it.
So what do you think, is this going to be another example of somebody trying to kind of reclaim past glory? Kind of
like
step into this?
Yeah.
Or is this somebody that's just very altruistic?
I know. I see it being a Kimball.
I see it being a Kimball, too.
It's a politician that they have ulterior motives.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's interesting that they kind of bring that up as Kirkman's character is actually getting stronger and more confident. Now you have this person coming in who could potentially change that.
I mean, let's hope not. I don't want any Kirkman moments of like, I'm sad and insecure, and then he's like, I feel better after this pep talk. Like, I don't want those episodes again, which we haven't gotten this since we've come back from break, which I'm like thrilled about. He really is just confident in figuring things out, which I like.
Well, because he mentions to Emily, like, having him back here could, you know, send a good signal to the country that you know, we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
A sign of strength. Do you buy that? Just imagine in our world right now that you see Clinton coming into this administration. Is that going to bolster your confidence in what's going on now?
Not Clinton.
Yes.
No, but I just think, you know, Clinton.
No,
could be
someone
cool.
else.
Could be,
I would say meetings, official cabinet role, no. I think, you know, because even as someone you question their motives. And you're like, meh, you know, that because... Chances are, if they're a different party, which we don't know what party he is, that you think that there's going to be some kind of division of, oh, they're going to clash, or they're going to, like, why? You know? And so I see maybe as in like an advisory role of what a president could or could not do, that it's good, or like here's some advice from my experience. But as like an official cabinet role, I just see that they, unless they're the same party, which we don't know, but they've really kept parties out of this with Kirkman being independent of like,
but you
know,
mean
clashing.
From a citizen's point of view? Is that what you were asking? Like from, like, would you feel better about it?
Citizens,
would you feel better or no?
Again, that's where I say I would feel better if it were, you know, like more of an advisory role and not an official position.
Fair enough.
That's it. You feel good?
I'd feel good. I'd feel better about it. I think as a citizen, I'd be like, okay, well, I feel like a little bit better. I don't think I'd feel worse about it. But so, I'm not involved.
I'm kind of like indifferent.
You'd hear about it and you'd be like, okay, yeah, this would probably make you feel a little bit better. But like, I mean, with all the stuff they've gone through, yeah, you'd be like, this is a familiar person. We actually know this person who was in the system.
That's why I say from an advisory standpoint, yes. An official position, though, I think you read too much into it.
Now, we did talk about Aaron. The question has been asked: good side, good guy, or bad guy? Of course, he comes right to Tom, and he does tell him that he is the leak that ended up kind of spreading the information about what really happened, mm-hmm. and that McLeish ordered the kill order on Catalan. Do you feel like that was a sign of the plus column for Aaron?
I see it's a plus column that he admitted it right away.
A kind of moment.
Plus column that he admitted it right away. I think.
All right.
I think it would have come out. Either way. So I think he knew he had to admit it. Same. I don't think he did it on purpose by any means. I mean, that moment with him and Kimmel was a little bit tense. But, I mean, I think he had to say something otherwise. Kimball would have said something or someone else.
Yeah. I don't think Kimball would have said something.
I think word would have definitely gotten out because clearly word travels fast in the White House.
I think he was already feeling guilty from being just investigated. I think he didn't want to keep any more secrets. And I think it was actually a good move for him to tell Kirkman up front.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of Kimball, so when Aaron does go to confront her, and she's like, you know, the president said I should, you know, keep an eye on McLeish, and that's what I'm doing. I'm wondering, like, so far this meeting, we have not seen Hoekstra and Kirkman together in the room for several episodes.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, why have we not seen this yet? Because they keep, like, especially, like, I'm going to fill Hoekstra in when it's ready. She wants to have a meeting with him, but we've never seen them in the same room together. For somebody that's so often getting in that Oval Office, wanting to know what's up.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Is she keeping her distance because she's been having talks with Abe?
Oh, Abe Leonard?
Abe Leonard.
Yes. We do get to see Seth, a lot of Seth on this episode, kind of doing his thing.
Running. Seth episode.
He has friends. He knows
who
other
knew?
People.
All right, man.
Holy cow.
All right. Who thought that friend scene was just lame and unnecessary?
So
no,
weird.
No, I think it sets up. I'm intrigued because I think it sets up for something.
He's as a possible
like
romance?
No, as a possible, like, will he leave? Will he, not as in a bad guy, but like, how dedicated is he? And I don't see as simple as, like, they did that just to prove in one episode that he was dedicated. I think that it will come back up at some point where he'll question if he's in the right position.
I don't know. After he had that speech
last week.
He's already
trying to get out once.
Yeah, but he had that speech last week where saying when he met Kirkman that made him feel like how he wants to feel about America. So for him to go to this episode and all of a sudden start having those feelings like,
So why reinforce it then?
I don't know why I thought the scene was.
I
don't know
what
the point of the scene
like
was.
The
That's why I think there's going
thinking.
To be a point.
I feel
proven.
The same.
I feel like it was just trying to show what, like, the rest of America was thinking. I mean, it was through three people,
three other friends. Yeah.
And it was just like their point of view. And we always say, like, we want to see people outside of the White House. So they finally showed us three people that know Seth, and then they're honest about how they're feeling about what's going on, which is what I felt they were trying to do, is like give us that point of view.
Ivan brings up a good point. Do you trust Seth's friends?
They're all trying to get that scoop, man. They're all.
I thought it was weird that they all said they got the source from Teen Mode, and then the girl like flew down from New York. Like, it was just kind of random. Like, I get that we're getting their outside perspective and just what other people are thinking, but I thought it was very weird that all three of them came up to him and approached him that way. Like, where is that supposed to go?
Well, speaking of Teen Mode, let's give it up for Rob Morrow coming back playing Abe Leonard. I did like his first scene where it literally looked like he had just rolled out of bed and into that briefing. Because his hair was all disheveled. I was like, man, all right.
Tanya actually tweeted me. She said he still got it. I got to pull up that tweet. She said, but between you and me, Rob Morrow still looks fine.
No, but I will say I liked having him in this episode. I thought he was a good foil for the administration.
Yeah, I enjoyed him as well. I liked his character. And, oh my gosh, that moment... In the the press conference when he was going back and forth with Seth, and he's like, well, actually, I liked that. Because usually when we have other reporters, like, talk to Seth, she always just shuts them down, always. And, like, they don't keep coming back with more things to say or getting more into it. So I did enjoy his character.
Seth got challenged a lot this episode.
He did.
Challenged by the press. He was challenged by his friends. If he really wants to be there. It's like... Wow. Seth.
All about Seth.
We got to see some more of his staff as well that also questioned, like, shouldn't we be trying to figure out what McLeish's ties are to the assassination? Should we come out and start talking to the public about this? I'm like, no. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No. Michael. Something.
They're going off in the live chat.
They're going off. All right. But then we also have that nice confrontation between Seth and Abe right there after they decide to run a smear campaign against Abe to kind of discredit him. Mm. And he's like, man, all right. The reason somebody does that is if you feel like you've got a truth you cannot refute.
He's right.
I mean, he called a bluff, but I wouldn't say that press secretary gave into it.
He's such a good
poker
face.
Kept a straight face.
Straight.
Seth killed it. He's like,
anytime you think he's going to be like, he's just like,
and they held that scene for a long time, too, after
he
left.
A long time! I was like, damn, Calvin, I see you.
I see you.
I see you. That is definitely my catchphrase, sorry.
I see you.
But I feel like it's good for Hook Stratton because she got Abe really invested in the story, and now it's somebody that, you know, she has a direct tie to that's going to be really investigating this.
So she doesn't have to get her hands dirty, per se.
No, but it's she doesn't have to worry about the White House kind of, you know, keeping her at a distance. She's got a guy that's
But now they know that there's the connection. I mean, Aaron called her on it and said, I know you're close friends with this guy.
But then he approached him after the fact, so I think they're going to contain what Aaron knows.
Yeah.
We'll kind of see that.
So, but I'm saying, I think they're a wise Hook Stratton's thing of what you're saying.
Oh yeah, but I think having Hook Stratton and Abe together, I mean, just having Abe out there investigating on their own, you don't have to worry about going to the White House and saying, what do you guys know? And if they don't want to tell her the whole truth or only parts of it, she can get the full inside scoop from whatever Abe finds.
Tanya, which, appreciate you reading her tweet about Rob.
I appreciate you.
And poor Aaron, how do we like at the beginning of the episode that he wakes up just laying face down on his bed, still in his clothes? Have you ever been so exhausted that you've just collapsed face down on your bed?
Oh, all the time. Or you just get home and you fall asleep on the couch?
Oh,
on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love falling asleep on the couch.
Of course, falling asleep on the couch. Right? That's very natural. But face down on your bed, still all in, like, and really, like, the business.
Not in my outside clothes. No. Definitely not.
Not my outside clothes. It's all my inside clothes.
That means you're not working hard enough.
The couch is for that.
And how do you feel about Tom's excuse for sending Aaron away for a week? That he wants him at his best, so he needs to have him have a week off just so he doesn't stumble and trip like he does. He's looking out in his bed for his
good
best
cover.
Yeah,
I think a week was too long, though. I think like 3 or 4 days. I mean, a week is a long... Heck, look what's happened in the show in a week.
Very true.
So I think a week was too long, but I like the idea that, you know, try to get him out for three days, 4 days. Week, a little long.
He could end up doing some, like, recon on his own and, like, still investigate things outside of the White House while he's supposed to be resting.
Well, it doesn't look like he's going to have to work too hard because it's coming right to him.
Literally, right off the gate. That's why I'm like, he's going to keep busy.
So, Charles Langdon resurfaces again. The last time we saw him was when Anna found him out in the woods, and then he took off from that cabin. So he's been just on the DL since then, but now he springs back up. What do you think he's going to have to share with Aaron?
I just feel like he's not a bad guy. I feel like if he was a bad guy, he'd be hiding more. He seems like he's a leaker, like leaking information, but not in a bad, like he thinks he's doing the right thing.
See, I think because McLeish was already the one who survived the bomb, this other guy who survived the same bomb is not going to be bad. I think it's easier to say he'll be bad because, again, why would he survive when everyone else died? And then if he's a part of it, how can you be, like, innocent in being a part of it? And is he just trying to trick people? Whatever. But I think that they're making him look so shady that he's going to end up being good and not actually a problem. I think he just got involved in something he shouldn't have gotten involved in.
He knows stuff. He knows something, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing that we did find out this episode, too, is finally we've been hearing for episode upon episode about this mysterious mission in Afghanistan that MacLeish and his troop was involved with. Yeah. And Hannah goes and talks to a joiner who was with MacLeish at the cemetery. And then he shares the story about what happened. Were you satisfied with what this Afghanistan mission was?
They made it seem like it wasn't that bad. I mean, made it seem like they... I don't know, at least from what we know now. Obviously, they built it up so that we would find out more in the future about him turning. But what he actually did, they really made it seem like he did the right thing.
Yeah, because in the beginning part of the season, it made it seem like MacLeish was not a hero. And that, I mean, they felt like that whatever this conspiracy was kind of propping him up to make him look like a hero. But on the actual mission, he really had very little to do. But in this retelling that we hear from Joyner, at least he was really heavily involved in the success of at least getting those remaining troops back to the States. So, I don't know, we do find out, though, that Lozano was this mysterious 21st member that was on the manifest. There was 21 members. That was Lozano, also known as Catalan, was with them, and they were going to meet a warlord. The whole deal went south. Instead of the warlord took the money that Catalan had for him and then decided to start killing the guys off. And basically, just as Hannah describes to the president, like a blood simple situation. They just started shooting at anything and everything that was coming their way.
So, I mean, yeah, and that's why I think they played it up so that it was like, wow, you know, they were life or death situation, and this is what they had to do. Which, you look at that and you're like, wow, okay, you are a war hero. And I think it's a similar theme, though, of war hero turned villain. Because you're disrespected by your country. I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm thinking of other plots that have been like that, of movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you doing the best, what you think is the best interest of your country? Your country turns its back on you and you feel slighted and you're seeking kind of vengeance.
It's like Quantico season one with Liam.
Yeah.
That's exactly
the
what happened.
The movie Speed, too, I think. Or like they want justice, where he's like, oh, I did all this for the government and they did nothing for me or they abandoned me.
Yeah.
Enough to like blow it all up, though.
I don't.
They think it's going to teach them a lesson. That's their reasoning. Is like I'm going to show them. I'm going to teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
The Live Free or Die Hard. Another one where it happened.
There
where he's like
the Oliphant.
Yeah, I told him all this and they laughed at me, so I'm going to prove it to him.
Yeah, that's true. And where's John McClane when you need him?
John McClane would take care of this like that.
What if this was like in the same universe as Die Hard, and we see John McClane come in for a sweeps episode, hang out with the president for real quick? But we do get to see it as Hannah tells Tom, like, this is the mission that radicalized him, and basically, as Tom says, like, what made him the mission that made him a hero was also what made him a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we see like this is how he got kind of indoctrinated into whatever this was.
I'll be curious of how they indoctrinated everyone. Or if they just feel loyal to MacLeish?
That's what I was saying. I mean, they were saying that, like, how loyal they all were to each other. So that would make sense if MacLeish took the lead, they kind of followed. Because they felt that they had to
that he helped keep him alive,
yeah.
I mean, while some, it feels like from, like, last episode, at least with the person that he was talking to on the phone, there are some members of his troop that are definitely with him in this conspiracy. And there's others that, like, I think more like Joyner, that... know what happened, but aren't actively involved in the conspiracy, but it still does kind of eat away at them about what happened on the mission. So it's, I don't know, I'm curious what this conspiracy is, though, because what their end game is, we still don't know what it is, and for something like this, where you see MacLeish and all his troops kind of have, kind of get their, the government turns their back on them, and they are looking for some kind of reciprocity. But, like, so what's a conspiracy? I don't know. Like, does a conspiracy also feel that same way, or are they just using MacLeish and his troop as a means to an end?
I guess that's something we'll find out. I mean,
obviously, they can't use him anymore.
Not anymore. No, not at all. The ghost of Peter MacLeish. No, that's why Scott will come back.
Yeah, finally. It's about to happen. Scott's return. I'm waiting for that because people that we think are dead are actually alive. So I'm like waiting for them to be like, Scott? Scott, is that you?
So, and then we wrap up at the end of the episode with Tom's address to the nation. Did you, I think any government show, anything that deals with the president, I think you always want to look, if you think like The West Wing or I guess Scandal, but that's more a different approach to the DC politics scenes. But something like The West Wing, where you want to feel like uplifted and like, wow, this is, I wish my president spoke like this. Did you feel like this is a great speech by Kirkman? Or is it like, eh?
It was a good speech.
It was pretty good. It's funny you bring that up because David Skidmore at Sycamore Skin, I think, tweeted us this week talking about that, comparing like the feel of this to The West Wing and House of Cards and other presidential shows in that respect, and like the vibes that we get.
Do you want to, would you, do you feel like you get those from the show, or do you want them from the show?
I don't know. Kirkman's like growing on me, and I don't know. I'm just not that impressed overall.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. All right. How do you guys feel compared to like other really big shows and moments from presidents?
See, I've liked other speeches he's given more. And I have to, like, there were moments that I have with him, I'm like, wow, man, he really knows how to talk to the people. This one was good. I like that he's all about, like, being honest, and I think that's a message that, the country wanted / needed to hear. But at the same time, I wasn't, like, blown away by any means.
Well, Leonard has that statement that he says to Hoke Stratton. It's like that there's no way that a president can learn on the job. So he doesn't have any faith in Kirkman at all. Do you buy that? Do you feel like a president can't learn on the job?
No.
Like they shouldn't learn on the job, but I think, I mean...
There's such a difference between running for president and being president.
Yeah.
The things that you know and the decisions that you have to make that you think are so easy. Part, I think, is being a politician where you promise all these things and you know that you can't deliver them. But part of them is, I think you can deliver on these, and then you get in there and you're like, holy cow, like, there's a lot going on that you didn't realize.
Well, if Kevin Kline could do it in Dave, you know, I feel like Tom Kirk.
He was only half of the person in Dave. Technically, he had a twin.
That's right.
So that's how he was able to accomplish it. I will say, getting back to your thoughts just on his speech and just his overall demeanor, and I asked this in the live chat, I'll be interested to see what people say, but my thought throughout the episode was he really seemed, I don't want to come across wrong of like weak, but it was interesting to see him as a president, but also considering you're used to Jack Bauer, he seemed like old and run down and like weak. And from looking at, I think, what they're just trying to do and show the president as like a human trying to deal with all of this stuff, that's how you would feel. You aren't a boss. Like, boss, like, capital B, you know what I'm saying. You're not a boss, like, all the time. Even looking at what he was wearing, like the sweater, no tie, and you're just, I mean, you're there. This is what it is of, you're real, and this is how you would be feeling, exhausted and just run down. And I think I'm glad that they did that. And even him in that last speech, I was wondering what he would be wearing, because when he came out to the press conference, he was in no tie, a button-up shirt with a sweater over it. And so I was wondering what he'd be wearing. He was still wearing the suit, but he didn't look as, like, regal.
Good observations.
Do you feel like you need your president? You buy a president more if he's coming out suit and tie as opposed to coming in with a shirt, tie, and a sweater?
I think it depends on the situation. I think a lot of times you expect them to be, like, oh, dressed to the nines and looking really professional, and that's good. So there are some public appearances. But sometimes if something has just happened, it's refreshing to see, like, when pictures of you know, Obama in all the meeting rooms, or when something big was happening, you don't have a shirt and tie and you have your sleeves rolled up. Mm-hmm. I compare it to when I worked in the news, you'd have severe weather or breaking news, and the weatherman, he had his sleeves rolled up, didn't have a jacket on, and he's like, people want to be, they should see that I'm exhausted. Like, it helps them to relate to me. Where it's not like, oh, I'm dressed up, I'm looking really good all the time. Like, no, I'm working. A working man is not working in a suit. He has his sleeves rolled up. He is, his tie loosened. This is real.
We should come in our pajamas next week.
That's right. Just keep it real.
We're just exhausted.
Michael's going to sleep in a onesie.
I wish they had a onesie big enough to fit me.
I bet they do. Yes. Those exist.
You sound like you've looked.
He's like, I've looked. I've tried them all on.
I guarantee you, as it gets closer to the winter, Target will have a onesie just your size. Oh, I guarantee it.
I'm gonna have to get a bigger size if I keep eating all these Oreos. They're so good.
True story.
Man, look at this. You weren't like this with the Peeps last week.
No, these
are
better.
They were too sweet. The Peeps were like, oof.
You like the little zing of the lemon in here.
It's refreshing.
Sorry if you guys have been hearing me eat or swallow, according to Ivan, the entire episode.
Oh, my gosh.
I've just been eating. I'm sorry.
It's like a mukbang. It's after show / mukbang. I guarantee people in the chat will know what I'm talking about, at least one.
Do you guys, great. You at least one. At least one. Way to go. One person will know.
One person will know. Tell me if someone tells me.
All right, so as we get ready to wind up the show, why don't we do some...
I'm going to say, Ivan's literally asked this, I swear, a dozen times or 15 times or more. He says, quote, "Frank, before it's too late, please open the MacGyver chat when it comes back. LOL. Sorry, I'm badgering you."
Oh, thank God.
All right.
Do you know what this... What is this?
It's MacGyver After Show. Happens Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on AfterBuzz TV with me and Mike Kalinowski.
Okay. Yes. He's asked it so many times.
Right, I love you. I will make sure. I will do my best to remember. I'll get that chat up and running so you can share your thoughts in real time with us as we break down.
Steven says that in Court of Comfort, he would ask the network if he could do the whole season without pants. Steven, you can't see what we're wearing or not wearing underneath here, so maybe we don't have pants on.
I will say my class rocking a Speedo. It's California, guys. So before we start wrapping up there, why don't we do some predictions about what we may be lay in the weeks ahead.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I was disappointed that my prediction... Well, I shouldn't say too disappointed, because my prediction was that someone was going to die. And that didn't happen this week. Yeah,
he did say that.
I thought that there was going to be someone killed off by leaking information or something, and that didn't happen.
I will say my interest in Seth's friends died very quickly.
So yep.
That was a that was a casualty of this episode. Renee?
I think
you've been on the beach for the past week. I'm sure you've had lots of time to reflect on Designated Survivor. Where you think the show is going.
Okay, so I think that something's going to happen at Camp David with the fam. I don't know if it'll be it's not going to be next episode. It's going to be a couple episodes from now.
Like something negative?
Something positive. There's going to be a party at Camp David. Something negative.
Mike's
going to
throw it.
Mike will throw the party.
They play an awesome game.
It's going to be a lit party. You're all invited. But I think whether someone's going to try to take them or their location will be known and they'll be targeted again, I think. And I also think that maybe Mike might be
you and
bad.
Mike.
I'm telling you, he's getting... It's like that thing, you're like, you're too good. What is wrong? You know? Like, what's wrong with you, Mike? Wow. Are you bad? Are you trying to sabotage your country? That's my question. I'm going to leave it at that.
Ooh, well, piggybacking off of my prediction from last week that Aaron is bad and we're going to see more of that, I think that we will, just based off the way the episode ended. And I think he might get in a little deep and maybe Hannah will pull him out since she's got eyes on him. So I think she might follow him and use whatever intel she can get to their advantage to further this investigation. And I'm just personally really curious to see off of that teaser, get the reason why Kirkman was the designated survivor and who decided that. Like, that to me was like the most interesting part of that teaser. I was like, wait, I do want to know that actually, you know?
Well, we should all guess. That's what our prediction. We should all guess a name.
Who? I don't know who like, stands to gain from something like that.
It has to be someone who we've heard about.
Would it be the former president, maybe, that they introduced in this episode?
Could it be the secretary of state that we know of?
Good old Dwyer?
Maybe.
Or is it?
Cornelius, guys? I mean, yeah, I know. Just so we can say names. Cornelius, that's why. I don't know. I don't know. I'd be curious. But yeah, I agree with Michael. There's got to be somebody that the name registers for. So like,
wouldn't it be weird if it was Aaron?
Yeah, I thought about that, but Aaron was not. No, he was the chief of staff, wasn't he?
I'm trying to think of who was still there, because we lost like everyone. So I'm trying to think who would have been there, who would have, that we know, because I don't think they're going to introduce a new character to be like, you're going to be disappointed. It's Todd, the guy we never met, you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember Todd?
Todd, our BFF Todd.
I mean, it could lead us.
Scott!
Scott.
It was Scott!
I'm excited because I feel like you don't bring Rob Morrow on just for one episode. So I feel like he's going to be around for a few episodes at least. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling that it's probably not going to end well. Because usually, you know, reporters, at least in the films, when they're investigating a government conspiracy, they end up getting eliminated. So I feel like Rob Morrow is going to find out what the deal is, but he's also going to get killed before he can share the information.
Oh,
Ivan says Alex chose Kirkman.
I would love that.
Well, of course you would. You're all like pro Alex conspiracy.
I was always about the backstab, wife, husband, what? Yeah.
I mean, we just had a husband and wife murder suicide, so could be on the table at this rate.
You never know.
Leo.
That could be what happens at Camp David. You could be right on both accords.
I know.
Oh, man. Alex kills Leo and Penny? Is that what you're saying?
No. Savage.
I still think, and the more I see this, Aaron is a good guy, just makes bad decisions. I don't see him as a bad, evil guy. I see him just as making some bad decisions.
Well, what makes
you that theory.
A good person if you're only making
no,
bad
like,
decisions?
No, like bad lapses of judgment. Like what he did this episode that they showed, a lapse of judgment. I see when he's getting involved next week that there's going to be a lapse of judgment with Langdon's going to tell him something and Aaron's going to try to do it by himself instead of telling someone. And it's going to make him look bad.
Yeah. That's fair. True.
But I think in the end, he will come back and be a hero.
But why now? Like, I feel like up until this point in the season, like, he was pretty, you know, just on point with everything, not making any mistakes. Like, he was the go-to guy. Like, why are you
now? The pressure's getting to him, the lack of sleep. But I see him taking a bullet before
sleep
the episode, before the season is done.
Really? Where's he going to take the bullet to?
I mean, that's like a 15% chance.
But I don't think they would get rid of his character.
If it happens, I'm just saying I introduced that thought
that's
first.
Right. Called it early. Called it early. Wow. So, any other predictions?
No,
I predict we should have one more lemon Oreo for the road.
I'm going to finish mine.
We got two sleeves.
Come on.
Frank, eat a sleeve, my man.
There you go. Everybody's got to get a fresh one for the road.
No.
Yep,
no,
Renee.
No.
Yep.
Oh, yum.
I'm not
going
to be able to go to sleep after this.
Well, that's fine. We'll sleep is,
ooh,
you know, for the week.
These are like double stuff, too, so I'm happy.
Yeah, look at that.
You know I love my double stuff.
Got to... Oh.
Ah. Wow.
Cheers.
No, boo.
Guys,
come on.
I'm not going to waste all of our viewers. I can't. Okay, I have my leftovers.
I do recommend these. Anyone in the live chat, anyone watching, which we have 25 people watching right now, which is fantastic.
Shout out. Everyone
in the live chat, shout out Michael Martinez, Ivan Soto, William Day. So many people in here. We had someone from Atlanta.
Mm.
You know what time it is in Atlanta right now?
3 awesome. In the morning.
Awesome. We really appreciate it. ClueGirl86, LADRLZ. I'm sure that stands for something. But, yeah, we really appreciate it. It was great to hear from you guys.
That's right. So, everybody, thanks so much for hopping in the live chat. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave some comments if you're watching this even after the show's over. You can do that right on the comments down below. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Renee, where can they find you?
You guys can follow me at Renee Ariel on Instagram and on Twitter.
Check out some of those beach pics.
Check out some of my beach pics on Instagram.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TheOnlyMC. Hit me up. Talk to me about this. Talk to me about what's going on in your life. Talk to me about Oreos.
Talk to Michael.
Yes. So you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Bean. I will be auctioning off this lovely, lovely, so good, one of a kind original
piece. All proceeds go to charity. All proceeds go to charity. The Michael Klaus Needs Some Money Foundation.
Yes.
And the Oreo Fund.
And the Oreo Fund.
Split decision. And tweet me because I'll be going back to Target to get the next batch. So
yes.
Let me know.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We did it again. Another episode of Designated Survivor After Show in the books. We'll see you back here next Wednesday night for another episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.